Sallepasutta, the discourse on effacement. This discourse appears in middle and saying, this is the eighth discourse. Thus have I heard, once the Blessed One was staying at Savatthi in Jethaspuru, Anathapindika's monastery. Then one evening the Venerable Mahachunda rose from meditative seclusion and went to the Blessed One. Having paid homage to him, he sat down at one side and spoke thus to the Blessed One. Venerable Sir, there are these various views that arise in the world concerning self-doctrine or world doctrines. Does the abandoning and discarding of such views come about in a monk who is only at the beginning of his meditative reflections? So, the Venerable Chunda is the Venerable Sariputta's brother, asked this question that about the self-doctrine and the world doctrine. So, this self-doctrine is explained in Patasambhida Manga. So, there are these 20 aspects. In them is interpretation through views associated with self-theories. Here, an ordinary man who disregards the noble ones, is ignorant of the noble ones, true idea, undisciplined in the noble ones' true idea, who disregards good men, is ignorant of good men's true idea, undisciplined in good men's true idea, sees materiality as self, or self possessed of materiality. It is himself, the mind form, and the self is the same. Or I possess, like a tree possessing a shadow, or self possess of materiality. Or self immateriality. So you can see that the or materiality in self. So there are four things. Like that, remember that we discussed this one as a flame and burning. Lamp is this the same, and then the flower is the same as the self, where the scent is equal to form. We discussed casket and the form that one would consider, that gem is inside the casket. So it's like that I am inside this thing, so there's this form inside the form that I exist. So there are four ways that one would regard. So regarding the matter, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness. So there are five into four, there are 20 views regarding the self. That is called Attavada. And there is this doctrine regarding the world doctrine. So for example, someone meditate and then he let's say he got the blue casino and develop to a certain extent, and then he actually see a blue that goes far away, right? And then he see end of it. So he see that's what it is. This is the end of the world. So he said the world is finite. Someone actually says world is infinite. So go into those theories. So there are these world doctrines arising as well.
Those doctrines include that 61, included in that 61 views?
61 includes the internal one as well as the external ones. So in simple terms, the sensual desire for the internal leads to the self view. Sensual desire for the external leads to these world theories. So that so we entangle in these views and having pursued. So because of the concentrations, these things occur. Normal ordinary person do not think about these things. They think about this there is this whatever thing they used to, plants, trees and all those things, fruit that I eat, that one, that's my life. So people do meditate, they see certain things and then they postulate these things, so these views occur. So the other people, having heard from those people who are have the vision in this way, they were getting into that one because they can't make head or tail out of anything else. So those are the views. Chunda, as to those several views that arise in the world concerning self-doctrine and world doctrine, if in which these views arise, in which they underlie and became active, is seen with right wisdom as it actually is, thus, this is not mine, this I am not, this is not myself, then the abandoning of these views, they are discarding, takes place in him who sees them. Is only by seeing that these things are not mine. And you can see that we will discuss with that diagram later on that how far we actually go into these views. It's the third line over there, third column, that it creates all these views. So then Buddha talked about these eight attainments. It may be, Chunda, that some monk detached from sense objects, detached from unsalutary ideas, that is akusal, enters into the first absorption that is born of detachment, accompanied by thought, conception, and discursive thinking, and filled with rapture and joy. And he then might think, I am abiding in effacement. But in the noble one's discipline, it is not these attainments that are called effacement. In the noble one's discipline, they are called abiding in ease here and now. You go into the concentrations, and then when you go into the first jhana concentration, you see that first you have the sensual desires and ill will and all those things. And you, having seen that this is bad sort of thing, having understood, he go into the concentration with the initial application and sustained application that I will get out of the sensual desire and ill will, so he will have the good thoughts. Having got those good thoughts, so he go into this first jhana concentration. Having reached that first jhana concentration, now he got the rapture and joy over those things and the concentration is there. Now he thinks, well, this is really good compared to what he had before. And then if he does not know, then there is this second jhana and all the other ones are there. And this is his limit. And so he is thinking, previously I was affected by these bad things, now I don't. In the meditation, now he get used to this one. And now he thinking, this is it. This is the effacement, you know, that he got out of all those, rubbing out all those things. But it, in the noble one's discipline, it is not the effacement. It is the abiding in ease here and now. At the moment that you have the first jhana concentration and you are happy and you don't have the other one. But as soon as you finish with that one, then you are back to square one. And these people having got into that one, one can get into this view in the future. I'll be such and such. Although I am not, remember Sabbasa Sutta. Although I am not, so now I'm failing from, falling down from this concentration. But after death, I'll be born in the Brahma world. I'll be perfect, fine. I'm not going to die. Even the Baka Brahma had that one in the second jhana realm while Buddha was present on earth.
But he went to that before Buddha's time, isn't it?
He went there before Buddha's time. And then he had this thought, because he has been there for a long time, he was falling from the fourth jhana realm and came to the second one. So he has been there for a long time. So,
and he couldn't hear any dhamma from Buddha.
And he had the power, all the power, So it may be that after the stilling of thought, conception and discursive thinking, he gains the inner tranquility and harmony of the second absorption that is free of thought, conception and discursive thinking. So vitakka vichara is not there. Born of concentration, filled with rapture and joy. And he then might think, I am abiding in effacement. But in the noble one's discipline, it is not these attainments that are called effacement. In the noble one's discipline, they are called abiding in ease here and now. So he got the first, the second jhana concentration. Is not having any more that the initial application and sustained application to the main, to maintain the meditation, he can maintain rapture and all those things without the initial application, sustained application. So this is it. That's what he is thinking. It may be that after the fading away of rapture, the monk dwells in equanimity, mindful and clearly aware, and he experiences happiness in his body, of which the noble ones say, happily lives he who dwells in equanimity and is mindful. That third absorption he wins, and he then might think, I am abiding in effacement. But in the noble one's discipline, it is not these attainments that are called effacement. In the noble one's discipline, they are called abiding in ease here and now. So, the second jhana concentration, where there is rapture, you know, the bodily rapture is there. So, one would might think that I might cling into this rapture. So, he go out of that level because I don't want to cling to the rapture either. So, he would prefer not to have the rapture. So, then he go into the third jhana concentration. And there is this pleasure. Pleasure, because there was rapture, so there is this pleasure. So it's maintaining the pleasure and staying in the third jhana concentration. And then, so he is now again thinking this is the effacement, but it is not so. It may be that with the abandoning of pleasure and pain, and with the previous disappearance of joy and grief, he enters upon and abides in the fourth absorption, which is beyond pleasure and pain, and has purity of mindfulness due to equanimity. And he then might think, I am abiding in effacement. But in the noble one's discipline, it is not these attainments that are effacement. In the noble one's discipline, they are called abiding in ease here and now. So in the third jhana level, you have the pleasure, but when the pleasure pass away, what you have is, you know, this, the pleasure and the pain is the two sides of the coin. If you flip it, you can see pleasure is gone, then the pain. Pain ceases, then there is this pleasure. So, and in the fourth jhana, you don't have that one because you have gone beyond that one. There is no pleasure, no pain, because pain actually ceased in the first jhana concentration itself. The pleasure ceases after the third and reaching the fourth. So it is so stable. This is the most stable, it is the stable. Buddha said this one is the stable concentration. All the other three are not stable.
Well, that pain that you're talking about, is it a bodily pain?
Yeah. You normally have a bodily pain, and when you have the rapture and things like, you don't have a bodily pain, you have the rapture.
Because you pay attention to the rapture.
Rapture, yeah.
How about mental pain?
Mental displeasure has to be got rid of. If you have actually rapture, because of the physical happiness, you have the mental pleasure. It is the Dhamma law. If you have that one, then you don't have this mentally, you know, displeasure.
That means that rapture in the first one is a
must.
Very, very big one, I mean, to get rid of the physical pain. That's the... That's why people can maintain that first jhana, isn't it? Because of the physical pain.
So it is not the physical pain that take. If you have the physical pain, then it's sort of very hard for you to attain unless you have practiced before for a long time. It is not the pain, that physical pain, that you take you out of the jhana. Those things that we describe in this sheet are the ones that we are going to discuss in a little while, are the ones that take you down. Without knowing, it takes you down. So that's the fourth one. And then it may be that with the entire transcending of perception of corporeality, that's materiality, with the disappearance of perceptions of sense pleasure, sense response, with the non-attention to perception of variety, thinking space is infinite. So he attained, because there's material things, he is going beyond the material things. Disregarding from the mind, you go out of that, and then you reach the space is infinite level. Remember, we discussed earlier before as well that if there are two people on the mountain slope, one is staying here, the other one going far away, then you can see those features of this person on the ground. You can see little by little when you go further away, you don't get the signs and features. Therefore, there is this detachment because of there is no contact. Like that, this patigasanya, the physical, this thing is moving away, and you have the ability in your mind that you have done this concentration up to fourth jhana level. Therefore, you don't, from your mind also, you are not looking at your physical things. So, it's both ways. So, you can see that it's going beyond this. And if you go to a star or something, looking at on earth, you can see this earth is tiny and nothing significant over here, if you are there. So, likewise, so he's going to space. Space is infinite. And in this particular level, if you are switching between the fourth jhana and the fifth jhana, this is the fifth jhana, you can see that in the fourth jhana level, you would sort of see those small asteroids and type things, like, you know, scientific movies, you can see that these things are there. And then in the fifth jhana, you're gone out of that one. You don't see them anymore, like that. So, so again he is thinking, I am abiding in effacement. But in the Noble One's discipline, it is not these that are called effacement. In the Noble One's discipline, they are called the peaceful abiding. It may be that by entirely transcending the sphere of infinite space, thinking consciousness is infinite, some monk enters and abides in the sphere of infinite consciousness. And he then might think, I am abiding in effacement. But in the Noble One's discipline, it is not these attainment that are called effacement. In the Noble One's discipline, they are called peaceful abiding. It may be that entirely transcending the sphere of infinite consciousness, some monk enters and abides in the sphere of nothingness. So the consciousness is constructed. So this having known that consciousness is constructed, and if you remove your clinging to that consciousness, then you reach this the seventh jhana concentration, that pain of nothing.
But even though it's constructed, it's there as the vijnana sanskara thing, isn't it?
Sanskara constructed this vijnana consciousness. And having constructed that one, if you look at that diagram, this we are cutting down the line 1 and 2 and 3 here. So, no views. Why the consciousness is keep coming back to the same state? Because of your view. You are holding the view from your view that this consciousness is good for me. This consciousness is valuable for me. You are assigning a value and maintaining that one. But if you cut down the view, this consciousness is crappy. It is no use for me. It has troubled me in the past. I have gone to hell and all those things because of this. If you remove that one, then there is no value you assign to the consciousness. So therefore you go beyond that consciousness and reach the spaces, the plane of nothing. There's nothing for me. That's what it is. So, it may be that he entirely transcends in the sphere of nothingness. Some monk enters and abides in the sphere of neither perception nor non-perception. And he then might think, I am abiding in effacement. But in the Noble One discipline, it is not these attainments that are called effacement. In the Noble One discipline, they are called peaceful abiding. So that now he is not even... He had the perception in the seventh jhana concentration. Now he is not, he doesn't want the perception either. Going beyond that one. So with the neither perception nor non-perception. And then Buddha explained what is this effacement means. Effacement is this to rub or wipe out. But there in Chunda, effacement should be practiced by you. Salleka, pariyaya. Others will be harmful. We shall not be harmful here. The effacement can be done. So you can see this is this harmfulness that you are going to remove. But you should understand, just because we remove the harmfulness from our mind, we should not cling to the state, having removed the harmfulness, that I am such and such a person, achieve such something. It's not something, you know, that if you think about this virtue, Panatipata Viramani. I refrain from killing. It does not say that having refrained from killing that I hold such and such a position or something. It's very important that the Buddha has very carefully worded these things. Refrain from. Buddha did not give a quality that I am abiding in this quality or something. I am refraining from that one because as soon as you actually attach your mind to the result of that thing that, you know, you get by refraining, then you get something called Atimana. You know that I am. So the people who are virtue, they think, okay, that I got this virtue, right? It is good, very good to have that one. But the bad part is thinking that I am virtuous, therefore that guy is useless, I am better. So I am putting myself on the top of everything. Because of the conceit, I get views again and again. So you can spend a night thinking, you know, that I am good. I am good, that other guy is bad. So it is that bad. Others will kill living beings. We shall abstain from killing living beings here. Thus effacement can be done. So you can see these are the 10 defilements we go through. Remember we discussed some times ago using a diagram that how you get this wrong speech and all those things, right? Yeah, so that's what it is over here. Others will take what is not given. We shall abstain from taking what is not given here. Thus effacement can be done. Others will be unchaste. We shall be chaste here. Brahmachari. Thus effacement can be done. Others will speak falsehood. We shall abstain from false speech here. Thus effacement can be done. Others will speak maliciously. We shall abstain from malicious speech here. Thus effacement can be done. Others will speak harshly. We shall abstain from harsh speech here. Thus effacement can be done. Others will gossip. We shall abstain from gossip here. Thus effacement can be done. Others will be covetous. We shall not covetous here. Thus effacement can be done. Others will have thoughts of ill will. We shall not have thoughts of ill will here. Thus effacement can be done. Remember that when we were discussing that diagram long time ago, and we discussed that if we have this covetousness, for example, that will lead to lying. And covetousness leads to sexual misconduct. It leads to stealing. And again, if you have ill will, that will lead to that harsh speech and killing. And if you have wrong view, then the frivolous talks. And also the sexual misconduct, both will lead to wrong view, lead to that one. If you have these things, so one create the other, so it goes on. And then that means you are going through this path, wrong view, wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, you know, wrong eightfold path. And so that will lead to the delusion, lust and hate. So that's the first thing. So Buddha got that one as the first one over here. That if you do not have those things, then you are actually cutting down the fourth column over here. It is very strong. The fourth column in that diagram is actually practicing the eightfold path. So the first one, they are the biggest one. All the other things contribute to this. All the any other dhamma is bad ones are contributing to this one. They are the biggest. And then others will have wrong views. We shall be right view here. Others will have wrong intention, we shall have right thought, and others will have wrong speech. So again, Buddha going through the wrong speech, wrong action, wrong livelihood, wrong effort, wrong mindfulness, wrong concentration, wrong knowledge. Those 10. Others will have wrong knowledge and the wrong deliverance. Because of the wrong concentration, one could have the wrong wrong knowledge. Michanyana, and so we should have the right knowledge, sammanyana. Others will have wrong deliverance, that is this, we shall have the right deliverance, is the sammavimukti. So some people get this deliverance as well, that I have freed from these things. Because this, the defilements, he cannot see, they are not coming up, they are suppressed for a long time. Even the, remember that one Bharadwaj, that's this, he had this, he thought that he is the Buddha. And then one deity said that you are the Buddha, you have an enlightened Buddha somewhere else. And then he went and became enlightened, and then he passed away. Others will be overcome by sloth and torpor. Now we are talking about this, the hindrances. The two of the hindrances were covered earlier. Now we are talking about the rest. Others will be overcome by sloth and torpor. We shall be free from sloth and torpor here. Thus effacement can be done. Others will be agitated. Uddatta. We shall be unagitated here. So this uddatta, kukuccha, uddatta is that agitated state of the mind. It can be there when you are in a concentration. Although the hindrances are suppressed, that you go into a concentration with the rapture and all those things, going beyond five hindrances, it can lie low in that. For example, you can go into a rapture state in the jhana concentration, and then you might have a bit of a desire for that one. And because of that desire, well, would I contemplate about the Eightfold Path and trying to attain the wisdom, or would I abide in this happy dwelling that I can develop and live at this moment? So you can see your mind switch between the two, which way I should go. This one is so strong, only Arahant get rid of that one at the state of Arahanthood. And so it's a higher one. Others will be doubting, vichikicca. We shall be free from doubting here. Thus effacement can be done. Others will be angry. We shall not be angry here. Thus effacement can be done. Others will be hostile. We shall not be hostile here. Thus effacement can be done. That is upanaha. We discussed last week as well these terms. Remember that in the last week discussion that we were discussing one diagram, and the same diagram, but I have added the Karaniya Metta Sutta to that diagram for today one. So, if you have the anger, first you get the anger. I'm angry about something. Having got anger, then I don't like this person, right? Because of the anger that I went into that perception. Then when I see that person next time, then straight away I have that view. You know that this person is bad person. Label him. He may be doing a really good thing that day. But still, for me, in my mind, I got the view, this person is a bad thing. So if someone says, no, he has changed and that one, you know, it's very hard for you to take it to your mind that he is not that bad like that one. Because my preconceived view about that person. And then others will be denigrate. The makkha, we shall not be denigrate here. Thus effacement can be done. So here we attack the character of the other person. It's normally happening from this isha, jealous. Let's remember that I'm qualified, I got something, right? And then the other person got the job. Since he got the job, I'm saying, how come he got the job? I'm the one who qualified and he got the job. He got the job because of other qualities or something, right? And so now I am actually telling other people, I'm downgrading him. You know, he's not suitable. He's not qualified. He's not like that. So it is his makkha. It's like eraser. Try to erase. You know, probably that makaniya word in Sinhala might have come from those things. And others will be domineering, palasa. We shall not be domineering here. The effacement can be done. So in domineering, you can see that, let's say someone has been born low, he consider equal to those born high. So this one result in disparaging others. So if I'm saying that the other person is same as, let's say, one example is a monk, for example, low-born became a monk, and then the king also renounced and became the monk. So now I'm saying the king is the same as me. So that this person had never no way of even seeing the king before, right? Now is equal. So I am putting myself like a king. So I become a king in myself.
That's like when people come from Sri Lanka and they say that all are equal. So as man,
right? No. It is, this is palasa, domineering. That is this, you can see it is appearing at the bottom of the third column. And it's mana leads to that one. Conceit leads to this one. And this is, if this thing is there, you cannot get out of your wheel. Although you want to get out of your wheel, this makka, derogation, and the disparaging, palasa, those two will not allow you to get out. That's why you are spending sleepless nights sometimes. Because you view, I want to sleep, but my view got the higher value. So view is keep on coming back. Well, what are we doing at that time, in that night that you are not sleeping? You are putting yourself above everybody else. And I am the best. I am the good one. I got these qualities. That person did not have that quality. Do not have that quality. Right? How come it is that I am down? I am the best. So we keep on looping through this my own view. It doesn't
That's
go...
That's what mana is, isn't it?
That leads to the mana. Mana is further deep. Mana created this one. Conceit created that one. That this particular conceit you are talking about is that because you have the virtue and duty clinging. Because then I have virtue and duty clinging, I have virtue developed, I got this certain virtue, and I developed, not for attainment of Nibbana, but for something else. Now if someone says that you are not good, how come I'm not good? I have developed that one. What Buddha said is, you refrain from killing. You do not cling to the result of not, you know, the result achieved by not clinging. If you do that one, that's where we head. We are heading for this one.
So, by maintaining your virtue, you get pleasure. You mean that that pleasure is itself bad?
You are clinging to that pleasure. That's the bad part. Virtue is good. You got to have virtue. There's no doubt about it. Having got virtue, do not cling to the result of that thing. Do not cling to the virtue. That's how you go into this silabbata paramasa.
But the result is your perception anyway, isn't it?
Yes, so perception creates the view. Perception is the one creating the view. So I got this view. Now I am saying, I am the best. I am the good one. So we spend sleepless night like that.
Is that the in short term, Lord Buddha has said in one sense that use Dhamma as raft.
Exactly.
Yeah. So exactly. Nothing else.
Nothing else, yeah. If you try to carry it on your shoulder. Yes.
That is what we are talking about. Mm. Carrying, we are carrying.
Carrying, yes. So, then the others will be envious. We shall not be envious here. Thus, effacement can be done. So, here we are not tolerating others' gains. Other people, someone got something. I'm not tolerating it. Because I'm thinking, I'm claiming it. I am claiming that other person's achievement, it is mine. Because I have done, I got me this qualification, I worked hard, I got this, I earned, so I'm clinging to the result of that one. It's like that having got a degree, I cling to the result of that degree.
It doesn't come until something happens, because until, for an example, if there is a group of people here, they all will be together and helping each other and everything, and but if one is rewarded or something,
that's it.
that's the point.
That's right. That's where it starts. That's why it is it is visible.
Is that what you call anusheya thing?
Well, as you can see, this isha is coming from ill will. So, you know, the ill will comes from this contact, you know, sort of thing. So it's interwoven in that way. And so anusheya is also leading to that one. Why would I have the ill will? Why would I have these ill will thoughts? for that one, unless I do have this, you know, it's because of the wrong view again. View creates it. And then others will be jealous. Jealous is not a really good word over here. It's a machari, it's a stinginess. We shall not be jealous here. Thus, effacement can be done. The meanness may be a better word, meanness or stinginess concerning dwelling. We can have this stinginess regarding five things. One is dwelling, family, gain, reputation and doctrine. And this regarding the family or the kula is a big one. Once we are, probably we'll have time, but we are going to discuss that one later on as well. So, others will be fraudulent. We shall not be fraudulent here. The effacement can be done. Others will be hypocrites, maya. We shall not be hypocrite here. Thus, effacement can be done. This is angana. You know, remember we discussed angana in one discourse? So, others will be obstinate. Tadda. We shall not be obstinate here. Thus, effacement can be done. So, this one again is a mental rigidity. Inflexibility of consciousness. Consciousness, when we have this one, and this is a one reason that two people fight very strongly and hold. One person is saying, do that, okay, or buy this or something. The other person is thinking, well, that one is actually harming me because I have to spend money or that I have to spend time or whatever thing it is. So one is maybe husband and wife. So husband is saying this one, or wife is saying go and buy that. Husband is saying, no, I can't. You know, this is my taking my time. This person is harming, this action is harming me. So one is going through this tambo, the obstinacy, going through this the third path, starting from the physical nutriment, going through that line and you are going one way. The other person is coming through this anger, hostility, anger path, and you crossing back to the obstinacy. So that person is sort of back over here. Let's say one who is proposing, let's buy something, is coming through that one over here to that. Right? So he got that bad thing over here. I'm not shaking my mind. The other person is coming from here to here. It's not
shaking. Same place.
Same place. So they are not moving an inch. I have my view. Both are view based. But coming from two different things.
Because
no shaking.
Two people are clinging to two different things.
Yes. They are, the clinging is the one actually created, but they are in the, one is in the anger, the other one is that one. So they are not changing their mind. They're totally fixed. The consciousness that constructed out of this volitional formation in such a way is so rigid, does not shake, does not go anywhere. These are bad ones. It holds in that. And others will be arrogant. We shall not be arrogant here. Thus, effacement can be done. This is really, really bad thing. It's called excessive conceit. So this may be like that a certain one by birth or by clan or good family or by one reason or another consider himself above all others. I'm the, you know, it is coming through this third line. You know, there are three lines, line one, line two, line three. The line three is very strong for this person. The view clinging is so strong. So he is thinking that I am the superior, all others are inferior. If the line one over here, clinging to desire, sensual desire lead to volitional formations, remember line one over here, if that one is strong, you feel inferior. Take for example, human beings, the animals, you would say inferior, right? Animals are inferior, they cling to this food, even cow dung or whatever thing it is. So you can see inferior things they live with, eat with. So that's a human being thinking that way. Now take a Brahma. He thinking these people are eating this disgusting food and sight of thing. So we are inferior. So if you take the divine beings, for Brahma, divine beings are inferior. Brahma is the highest over there. So you can see inferiority is coming on that one. If you are so strong in line one, that means inferiority thing is coming up. So strong in the second one, then you are saying equal. Equal in the sense that I have my virtue. Because of the virtue, we are born in the divine realm. You have not been born there yet. You have clung to the result of this virtue and you claim to be a divine being in your mind. So I'm equal. And then the other one is, I got the view, I'm superior. So you can see, if you have the arrogance, then arrogance leads to these two things. That's the obstinacy, the previous one, mental rigidity we were talking about, and also this sarambo, presumption, that is behavior or language that is bodily arrogant, boldly arrogant. So he's so arrogant about this one. He expresses from his body, you know, the shaking the body, and that one, you can see some people when they are walking also, they walk like a person, you know, arrogant person, right? Some people express from their words like that. And so the sarambo, both are coming from this atimana.
Isn't it because of the practice in previous lives?
That contributes quite a lot, yes. The practice of previous life, that's how you get this character. This person is sort of a craving person. This person is a view person. So there are two classes, completely coming from the previous ones. But here also, by making some achievements yourself, you publish a paper or something, and you know, then you become arrogant. And you got some, let's say you are a very poor person, you earn quite a lot of money, now you got the cars and all those things. Previously you were, one may be living with the other poor people, now you don't even look at them. You see that its property is also creating these things. So whatever way, we are really very clever at arriving at those values. Others will be difficult to admonish. Dubbaccha, we shall be easy to admonish here. Thus effacement can be done. This one again, another discourse on itself. The 15th discourse, Anuman Sutta, in middle length saying, that has to be read to understand just how bad it is. So one cannot admonish or teach someone because that if there is this sensual desire so strong, that's one thing, jealousy, and there is this anger is there in that person, if you try to teach him, then get angry, so that arahants go away, does not try to teach him anymore. And you express that you are angry, or express words leading to anger, sort of thing. Others will have bad friends, papamitta. We shall have noble friends here. Thus effacement can be done. Others will be negligent, pamatta. We shall be heedful here. Thus effacement can be done. Others will be faithless. We shall be faithful here. Thus effacement can be done. Others will be shameless, ahirika. We shall be shameful here. Thus effacement can be done. Others will be without conscience, anotapi. We shall have conscience here. Thus effacement can be done. So you can see that this hiri otapa, that things that coming in the, when you recall Buddha, for example, you get these seven. And that means you don't like to you have the fear of doing bad things and the shame of doing bad things. And others will have no learning. We shall be learned here, Bahusutta. Thus effacement can be done. Others will be idle, Kusita. Remember Kusita Arambha Vastu Sutta, that one person here. We shall be energetic here, Aradha Virya, thus effacement can be done. Others will be lacking in mindfulness. We shall establish in mindfulness here, thus effacement can be done. Others will be without wisdom. We shall be endowed with wisdom. Thus effacement can be done. Others will misapprehend according to their individual views. Views hold on to them tensiously and not easily discard them. We shall not misapprehend according to individual views, no hold onto them consciously, but shall discard them with ease. Thus effacement can be done. So there are 44 dhamma here. 44 bad ones and you are got, can get out of those 44. So I think this is the list one got to get rid of. That's the list. And then Buddha said, Chunda, I say that even arising of thought concerned with salutary things, that is kusala and ideas, is of great importance, not to speak of bodily acts and words conforming to such thought. Therefore, Chunda, the thought should be produced. Others will be harmful, we shall not be harmful here. First you get this rubbing out of the bad ones. Now you are producing the good thoughts about it. You are producing the thought that others will have will be harmful, we shall not be harmful. You maintain that one in your mind. You are thinking that way, rather than thinking the other way around.
But isn't it... But you always compare yourself with against another person, another sort of a quality, isn't it?
It's okay to compare with the quality, whether I have this quality or not, to just to check whether I have.
Yeah.
But one should not cling to that quality, the result of that quality, that you are trying to develop that quality and achieve that quality, but still do not cling to the result of it. That's the bad one. Because if as soon as I started claiming that that quality is mine, then there's this Atiman comes. We created this scenario. We have virtue and all those things established. We practice. Having practiced it, you should not cling to that.
Even to identify right wing, like, don't you kind of compare yours? Views, other when other people have different views.
Then you should do that way. For the view, you should go through the Eightfold Path, where you are actually seeing the Four Noble Truths. So that is the right view. Anything else is not right. Anything else is has got some sort of a wrongness in it. Because the Four Noble Truths is the only truth. All the others are constructed. If someone says the neva sanyana asanyayata, neither perception nor non-perception, that's the best, Buddha wouldn't agree. Because there is the cessation of feeling and perception. So there is no such view other than the right view. So if you are comparing, you compare to the right view. There is no person. It's only the qualities over there. But having got that one, Buddha said to one monk, that view of you, that is so pure, do not cling to it. As soon as you cling, that will become, this is mine. And that's Atimana. So Buddha went on all the other 44 dhammas. Others will kill living beings. We shall abstain from killing living beings. Like that. And then the next one is the avoidance. That's the second one is the thought. And then the third one is avoidance. Suppose Chunda, there were an uneven road and another even road by which to avoid it. And suppose there were an uneven ford and another even ford by which to avoid it. So too, a person given to harmfulness has non-harming by which to avoid it. A person given to killing living beings has abstained from killing by which to avoid it. So that means I have fallen into the method of non-killing. So therefore I give up killing. That means I have gone to the practicing the Eightfold Path. Therefore, I give up killing. We discussed that discourse as a long time ago. So similarly, Buddha went to those 44 Dhamma paths, and the a person without wisdom has wisdom by which to avoid it. If you have the wisdom, you can avoid the not having wisdom. For example, if someone is actually thinking about a certain thing, an object, that this is good and so, and if we see that this object, all those things, having seen such a broken one, let's say I have a good car, and I have seen similar car broken on the road, so I've got some sort of wisdom about it. So that wisdom will lead to abandon that non-wisdom, these things are good and permanent, so as opposed to this. A good view. A person given to misapprehending according to his individual views to hold on to them tensiously and not discarding them easily has none misapprehension of individual views, none holding on tensiously, and ease in discarding by which to avoid it. So there is always that opposite. The way upward, Chunda, as all unsalutary states lead downward and all salutary states lead upward, even so Chunda, a person given to harmfulness has harmfulness to lead him upward. A person given to killing living beings has abstained from killing to lead him upward. So Buddha said all the other 44 parts that the other one will lead upward. Quenching. Chunda, it is impossible that one who is himself sunk in the mire should pull out another who is sunk in the mire. The normal statement, you know, the someone who stuck in mud can't take someone out of the mud. It's coming from Buddha, not from anybody else. If you stuck in mud, you can't take anybody out of the mud. So you are going down with that one. But it is possible, Chunda, that one not sunk in the mire himself should pull out another who is sunk in the mire. It is not possible, Chunda, that one who is himself not restrained, not disciplined and not quenched as to his passions, should make others restrained and disciplined, should make them attain to the full quenching of passions. But it is possible, Chunda, that one who is himself restrained, disciplined and fully quenched, should make others restrained and disciplined, should make them attain to the full quenching of passions. A person given to harmfulness has harmlessness by which to attain to the full quenching of it. A person given to killing living beings has abstained from killing by which to attain to the full quenching of it. So all the 44 parts Buddha repeated in this way. So thus Chunda, I have shown to you the instruction on effacement. I have shown to you the instruction on thoughts arising. I have shown to you the instruction on avoidance. I have shown to you the instruction on the way upward. I have shown to you the instruction on quenching. What can be done for his disciples by a master who seeks their welfare and has compassion and pity on them? That I have done for you, Chunda. There are these roots of trees. There are empty places. Meditate, Chunda. Do not delay, lest you later regret it. That is my message to you. Now we need to look at how we can actually get rid of these things. That is that diagram he said about. So you can see that we discussed this diagram in detail last week. So basically these four nutriments, and so it goes down, it goes across as well as goes down in that line, on those columns. So the physical nutriment lead to the barb of lust. Contact as nutriment, you can see the barb of hate, and the mental volition as nutriment, barb of views, and the consciousness as nutriment, the flood of ignorance. And then there is this moha salla. So there are 10 dhamma parts in each line. I haven't shown all 10, I have shown only 4. 4 parts. In the third one, actually, I have shown only 3. And first of all, this diagram is not from me. It's from, I was helped by the great Brahma Sahampati to do this one. What I have laid over there, those bad ones like this isha, envy, and stinginess, machiriya, hostility, anger, where they occur on those processes, those are shown to the closest place where they can occur, right? And so you can see the isha is in the, it occur with the ill will. It's close to the ill will over there. And then the stinginess is coming out of the flood of existence. Because you want to exist. I want to have my property. I want to have my, you know, my family, my wealth, everything is mine. I'm holding. So because what for? I'm going to exist in this world. So I have this flood of existence. And so isha, stinginess, they are in the after the second column, between the third column. It's important, that one as well. And then you can see between the third column and the fourth column, that's mental volition is the third, starting from the third column, and the fourth column start with the consciousness as nutriment. So there are two Dhamma parts. That's the main one is this derogation, makko, and the disparaging, pala. So we discussed these two little while ago, how you go into these things. And the other bad ones, the minor ones, obstinacy and presumption. But you first have this palaso, and then that creates the other ones. They are the more active ones. And so to get rid of this one, one would go through this dukkha-patipatta danda-abhinya. That is that one have the contemplation about the foulness of food, and then 32 parts of the body. And then you have this sabaloke anabhirata sanya, that is that for the regarding the your eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind, the whole world, you disregard these things that you used to accept as really good. Now you see these are disgusting, troublesome things, and so you discard them. And then there is this sabbasankaresu anicca sanya, that is the impermanent nature of all volitional formations. So that you discussed about these formations, because that now I see the whole world, my eye world, ear world, all those world. What I am getting is really bad, is suffering thing. So why would I construct this body? Why would I look at somebody else and construct this feeling, for example, have perception that will troublesome for me? So you become disgusted about these things. Sabbasankaras attiyati harayati dibuchati. So you go into this level. And then the perception about the death hold thoroughly in your mind. If you go in that way, then you actually understand alone the way that the first noble truth and the third noble truth, in a sense. The first noble truth, you would understand that it is suffering. You know, if you even think about this body, you can see the suffering nature. Having contemplated thoroughly, then you get this idea about this is suffering. And then you heard from the Buddha, and you sort of contemplated. You probably you have the first jhana before this level, at least first jhana. So he sort of see the sensual desires, the sensual pleasures are troublesome, and then going out of that one is good. So there is something, this nibbana, something better than this what I have now. So you get the glimpse of nibbana, not thoroughly that he actually established on nibbana, but he get the idea what it is. So then he would go into previously having seen someone, he would have grabbed all the features and signs from his mind. Now he is not, because he knows this is the trouble that is coming. I don't want that one. So you restrain your faculties. And then you go into the metta apramana, loving kindness. So metta, way to go to metta apramana is the karaniya metta sutta. So you can see the the Brahma Sanpati helped me on to lay out where they occur exactly in this diagram. So you can see that I have written that one upright uju. Remember, karaniya matta kusalena yantan santam padam abhisamicca sakko uju cha sujuju. Uju. Uju means upright. They are actually in the fourth line. The fourth line you can see when you go in good way, that is where you are going through the Eightfold Path. The person who get into the Eightfold Path, he is getting to the straight path. If you think about the monks, when Buddha is describing Supatipanno, Ujjupatipanno, Bhagavato, Savaka Sangha, so they are in the straight path. So this straight path is the Eightfold Path. So this is the Eightfold Path, where there is this upright. So there you see that what I have written over there is that, you know, next to virtue part, where you have the Eightfold Path, there is this virtue, you know, refrain from killing, stealing, all those things. And this person now started doing meditation. Now he thinks that having this ill will, and these thoughts are bad. I have to give up. I used to kill. I should not be killing. So he practiced. And today, let's say he got rid of killing, not completely, but he's refraining from that one and maintaining it. And then next day he meditates, he sees that I am lying. I should not be lying. So you give up lying. And then you see that, most people are saying that frivolous talks, you know, that making a joke or two is fine. But he understands in the meditation, oh, this is so bad. This is so bad. If I do that one, it is keep coming back to me and playing its part. So you remove that one next day and so on. So, sujuta, exceedingly upright, because you are correcting yourself going through the eightfold path. So that is the starting point. So that you can see this numbering is important as well, 1 and 2. So this will occur in the meditation, bit by bit. The other time, you are mindful and trying to maintain that one. And that will lead to sujuta, obedient. That's a big thing. That is a big thing. You can see this coming from the Kablika Rahara, that this physical nutriment part, the first part, and third is written over there. After the sensual desire, you can see this obedient means that I am not going for this sensual desire like before. I am happy to give up these things. And that one, as I said in Anumana Sutta, Venerable Mahamoggallana explained what it means. So you can't have jealousy. All the other bad things written down over here that you are saying, I'm happy to give up bit by bit. I won't train it that way. Although I can't give up at once, I'm happy to give up. That view is there because I'm going through the Eightfold Path. To support it, I'm happy to give up these things. These bad qualities are there. No doubt every one of us got it. It is there. If you meditate, you can see how bad it is. So you become obedient. When you become obedient, Arahant can actually help you. If you are not obedient, they can't help you. Because they come and tell you, do it this way. Well, how come? I'm not going to listen to him. I'm my own. You know, I know. It's constructing from your mind. You are constructing the conceit. That you have the conceit. How come what he said is right? I don't see it. Of course you don't see it because you have the ignorance here. So, obedient means that if somebody with very strong views, very hard to instruct him. If someone has got a strong views, you know, this conceit, very hard to instruct him. Because he's in his view, you can't take him out of that one. The clingy person is sort of easy to, because he understands that I am clinging. The conceit person does not understand because he has thought that, well, I am the superior. Who is this guy? Like that. So you can see we are going backward now. Starting from the fourth line here, we are back to the first line. Cutting down the, diluting the sensual desires and the ill will and sort of thing. And then we are going to the fourth one. So you can see, Sakko yucha su yucha su chocha sa mudu anathimani mudu. Mudu is gentle. So you can see gentle part is there in the third line, between the third and the fourth line, that I am not rough anymore. I am listening. I am happy to listen. I am happy to give up my own wrong views. That's where the views occur. In the third line, with the mental volition, having certain perceptions creating the volition, because of the volition, I have this clinging to my own views. So I do not listen to anybody else. Nudu. I was a rough person before, now I am become a soft and gentle person. And then that leads to fifth one, humble, anathimani. That is actually in the last one, in the third line. You don't have this, you are not putting yourself as a higher person. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm the biggest, I'm the highest, because I'm now humble, not like before. Now from the fifth, we are then going back to the sixth. It's very important to notice these lines, where it is going. Remember, we start with 1 and 2, and then we jump to third one. So we are going in the middle line, cutting down my ill will parts. And then I am cleaning up my view, cleansing of the view to become gentle. Having gentle, that I am not going through that line very strongly. Why? Because I am going down the mental evolution view, clinging the flood of views, that I become so stubborn. I'm putting myself up. Now I am not doing that one because I am gentle, I am humble. When I am humble, then you can see I'm controlling my senses. How come? When I am humble, how can you come from 5, 5, 5, the bottom of the bottom line, you can see, on the third line, bottom one is the humble, the sixth one controlling the senses is the last one in the first line. Remember we discussed this diagram when we were talking about Sabbasava Sutta? Can you remember this? We discussed the Sabbasava Sutta before. So here we discuss that when you get the taint of views, then you are back to the sensual desire. That's the link. So if I don't have, from here I jump to over here. So what this means? You can see, if you become humble, then you are reducing your ditti ashrava or the view, you know, the taint of views, you are reducing it. Why? Because let's a carpenter construct something. And then when the people look at what carpenter construct, after some day they might say, this carpenter, what is he constructing is useless. I don't want anymore. We don't give a value to the carpenter anymore in that case. If the goods that he is producing is not quality, oh, I don't give value to that one. So like that one, so since you are reducing this ditti ashrava, you are reducing the kama ashrava, sensual desires. Since you are reducing the sensual desire, now I can control my eye. If I have a very strong sensual desire, I cannot control my eye, or ear, or nose. What was contributing to it? It is this ditti ashrava. The taint of view was the one contributing to my sensual desire. Look, when you are walking, when you see someone on the road, did that person give you anything? They did not give anything. So, but you are thinking about that person. Why? Because I have a view. View created in my one, that view is the one asking me to think about it. I contemplate, because the view is form that is good, right? So since I am reducing the view, then I am reducing this sensual desire. So I am actually happy to control my eyes. I can control my eyes, ear, nose, tongue and all those things. Now six is leading to the seventh one. Now I see prudent, nipakocha. Prudent means is sound judgment. That having some sort of a discernment, controlling of faculty will be good for me. Santasa kocha, santrindiyocha, nipakocha. So doing that one is good. So when I come back to seven, then I go to eight. I am courteous. Courteous is actually, I am not saying the king is the same as me. That is on the third, between the third line and the fourth line, you can see I have written a box. The square boxes are all Karaniya Metta Sutta. Between the third line and the fourth line on the top. So, if I don't have this appagabba, if I don't have a pragalba, and I am courteous, then that means I can remove my clinging to my families and things. Because I am not saying that I myself is equal to anybody else and so on, right? So then my family, if I am not equal to, you know, blah, blah, then I am saying my family and all those things are gone. So you can see it is going to nine now. See that now we are actually cutting down the end of second, third line and I can actually maintain the third line. I know this is difficult for you, but try to grab as much as you can. So nine now. We'll go into 10. How we go from 9 to 10? Now I am not...
Is it metta?
This is the whole thing is metta. So if I am... Now take for example this... what is 9 means? I'm not clinging to my families. I'm not clinging to Sri Lankans. I'm not clinging to Sri Lanka. I'm not clinging to Sri Lankan people. Okay, let's say that too. So let's say Tamil Tigers or someone killing Sri Lankans. I'm not angry because I'm not clinging to Sri Lankans. I'm not actually angry about somewhere, some happening in Afghanistan or someone, somebody killing. Same way, I'm not angry about this thing.
The Buddha said that if bandits were sawing off your arm with a two-handed saw, you still ought not to get angry.
That's right. Yeah, yes, yes.
Sawing off your arm and you're not angry, then you're not angry when they're sawing off your father's arm or
family or whatever. Yeah, see? So now you can see that leads to 10. So 10 means that you are now saying, previously you would have tell other people that let you die and bad one. You are saying, may all beings be happy. Sukhitatta. And then what 10 leads to? 10 leads to 11. So 11 is that if I am saying let all beings be happy, then I am free from anger. I am not maintaining the anger. So you can see it in the third, second line. Bottom of it, that 11 is there. In anger, let him not wish another ill. Vyarosana. Patika sanya. That means that you are going backward in that line. Previously you were coming down, now you are going backward to ill will. 12 say, in ill will, let him not wish another ill. It is next to the ill will, you can see. So now 12, straight away going to 13. 12 lead to 13. So you can see horizontally we are moving now. 13 is not falling into wrong views. Remember, dittincha anupagamma silava dassanena sampanno. Dittincha anupagamma silava. So I am having a view, I am not going to hold that these things as mine. Sakkaya ditti, the view of self. I am not going to hold that one. So that becomes his view, and view is now included in the virtue. So therefore I don't have ill will. Ill will remove this one. And then, again we are going back. The 14th, I can't write it, so I put a circle over there. 14 I have written on the left side, the position is that where the circle is. Over there, lust in the sense discussed. Kamesu inaya vedam. That's what it is. So, I know that I myself was created because of this sensual desire. My existence over here. I am saying, I am not anymore going to take these things as me, mine and so on. So I am discarding them. So therefore, lust in the senses discarded. Naijatu gappaseyam punareetiti. You can see, will not return to conceive in a womb. So I am not going for kabalikara, that the nutriment. So that's this thing. So if you can meditate like this, if you can remember this diagram, you can see each and every point what it is cutting down, you are not going to fall. This is the way to meditate metta appamana. With the understanding what is given in this diagram, if you do it for an hour, you are for the whole hour, you are in the metta appamana. First you need to develop these qualities, in a way, an ability to do this. And then just thinking and doing that one.
So that it goes to the divine world.
Apamana is actual, if you maintain that one, if you pass away, you will be born in Brahma world, not even in divine worlds. Brahma, only Brahmas can have that one. And this one is the door to the Appinita Cheto Vimukti. So therefore you attain Nibbana as well. So this, remember, this is the third one in that Anuttara Purushadhamma Sarathi. There are Buddha saying three things, the eight things, eight directions, and the third direction is this one. So if by that way you can see, the if you travel through these numbers 1 to 14, you can see it is cutting down this line 1 very nicely, with cutting down line 3 to a certain extent, right? Diluting it, cutting down line 1 very heavily, and so you can attain. So I have written what Brahma Sampada said over there, that if you reach this one with the aid of first jhana, and you will reach metta appamana by using metta sutta. If you cut down the second one and you maintain karuna, then you will, space is infinite. Hmm? If you cut down the line 2, if you cut down the line 3, then you maintain 7 factors of enlightenment, you reach the consciousness in infinite. And this consciousness is now constructed. If you remove the clinging to that consciousness, then you will reach space is infinite, pain of nothing. Hmm? 7th jhana. And I have not been taught yet what will happen when you cut down line 4. Well, I'm guessing it is the Nirodha Samapatti, if you cut down that one. Hmm. I think we have gone beyond the time. So, yeah. Stop for today. So, do you have any questions?
I got a couple of clarification if you have time.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is, when you look at Kriyani without this Karnimitta Sutra, the thing is now we are moving one by one from left to the right if you are going bad way.
Mm-hmm.
And we use Dukkha-Pativata Dandavinya to get out of that one. And
mm-hmm.
that way it is helping us to get rid of the going back to the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Karniyamitta Sutra help us to understand when we are going through that Dukkha-Pativata Dandavinya, when it directs you where you stand at various times.
Exactly. Yes. It help you do that one. And whenever you are falling from your meditation, the absorption, these parts, knowing that where you are standing, you cut down and polish that particular point that I have this thing, because it has exactly happened to me in the meditation. I was trained for last month, I would say, with this discourse. With this, because I do the meditation on the Eightfold Path and in this nutriments. And I was trained, I mean, not like in 1 hour like this. I had a training about the Isha Envy and the Makko for a day, 1 hour. Only that too. Various examples, various ways. And then the next day with the stinginess and the palasu. And another day, those four are the major ones. And then the later ones. So you can master it that way, but you can't do all of them at once. Try to get one day, next day, and so on. So, at the end, you can maintain whatever concentration. I have done all the concentration, so you maintain as much as I want at that time. You're not falling. I mean, my problem before is that I can go there, attain that concentration. I cannot say I will maintain it for an hour. Whatever the meditation. My aim is to, I need to switch back and forth. Third to fourth, fourth to fifth, fifth to fourth, stepping, that sort of thing. I can do it with this one. I can do very well that maintaining these things and going. So this is a skill. And this loving metta, karuna, karnimitta sutta, help you to maintain that exactly you know why you are falling. Exactly you know what you are actually constructing at that time. You are so mindful and you know. So you can, this laying of this on is a really great thing to understand.
The last one is about, we finish at number 14, that is
15.
That's 15.
In the top, bottom, top corner.
Yeah. That's right. We'll not return to the concept. Yeah. That means it is very much consistent with what we have heard earlier before, is that when you get out of physical nutriment, you are reaching anagami level.
Yes, right.
It is what it is saying.
Yes. Okay.